questions. It was 9 hours for the hearing. There was supposed to be a second day today, and it was canceled. And I think the reason for that is because, you know, the Senate committee, I believe, expected to see a candidate for Secretary of State show up, and instead who they saw was the CEO of ExxonMobil. And basically, Rex Tillerson answered questions the way he would as a CEO serving his company, not a man poised to represent the public good. And he did not come off well, and so they pulled the second day of the hearing, I would guess, to do damage control. And so, every single Democrat in the committee would need to vote against Tillerson and be joined by at least one Republican. Marco Rubio appears very likely to possibly be that Republican. However, there is a move that they can make in that committee to essentially just skip the vote and send the nomination straight to the Senate floor, in which case every Democrat and three Republicans would need to oppose Tillerson. You know, I think there's a possibility. I think he did not do a good job. I think it's, you know, basically, he's a shocking nominee, which is why I wrote that article. And I think, you know, if there are many nominees who should not be appointed into this cabinet, and he is, you know, high, if not the top of my list for people who are just not qualified for the cabinet positions they've been nominated to.
He is the CEO of ExxonMobil, which at the same time as he has been preparing for his testimony to become Secretary of State, is also facing a coming trial. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the trial that ExxonMobil is facing there in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, so Rex Tillerson retired 12 days ago as CEO of ExxonMobil, so that he could be considered for the position of Secretary of State. And he was actually going to face a forced retirement when he turned 65 in March. But as you say, at the same time as he was having this hearing, ExxonMobil is preparing to appear before a court in the federal court in the District of Columbia. And Rex Tillerson is named in this suit against ExxonMobil, which is one of the most infamous cases of severe human rights abuse against any oil company in the world, for abuses that occurred in Aceh, Indonesia from 2000 to 2004, when Tillerson was senior vice president and then president of ExxonMobil. And the case alleges that security personnel, essentially the Indonesian military, privatized by Exxon to act as private security for its natural gas operations there, just horrifically brutalized the local population, and the charges include murder, they include torture, they include sexual assault, they include the most amazing accounts of torture, including one John Doe in the case who alleges that after being, that he was held for 3 months by ExxonMobil security, tortured and shown a pit full of human heads, and told that that's what would happen to him if he, you know, didn't do something. Fortunately, he survived, and then he alleges only to have his house burned down. But that that case is something that Exxon has been fighting for 15 years. It was first brought in the year 2000, and then the instances of abuse continued through 2004. And Exxon does not contend that the human rights abuse did not occur, rather that it is not liable for those abuses. And I think this case is a really horrific example of Exxon's willingness to work anywhere under any conditions with anyone if there's oil and natural gas at the end of the road. And it's just one example, unfortunately, of that story, which I tell at length in my article.
Now, Tillerson is just one of nine potential cabinet members who are up for confirmation hearings this week. Now, a number of those potential candidates for cabinet positions have not fulfilled the ethics requirements prior to their confirmation hearings. Is he among those? And what does that mean? Now, apparently, this is the first time in the four decades since the Office of Government Ethics was established that these nominees for cabinet positions have not completed the ethics requirements in advance of their confirmation hearings?
It's at this stage the highest number who have not. So what looks like is likely to happen is that this is set to be the wealthiest cabinet in U.S. history and potentially the least vetted. ExxonMobil, actually Rex Tillerson, and you know, it's a Freudian slip. They're really in very much ways are one in the same, Rex Tillerson and his now former company. But he has actually gone farther than most others. He has filled out economic disclosure forms. He has not released his tax returns, although that actually isn't a requirement, though it is common practice to do so. He also changed his golden parachute retirement package to make it less linked, significantly less linked to ExxonMobil. So he's actually done more, certainly, than the president-elect has done. But he also has 41 years worth of connection to this company. He's never worked anywhere else in his adult life. And I think it's utterly naive to imagine that he would suddenly see the world in a way other than he has seen it for the last 41 years, which is through the lens of ExxonMobil. But he has done more than others to reveal his finances, and they're actually quite amazing looking at his disclosures. He has stock in basically every major oil company, among other companies, and you know, he said he's going to divest that stock as well as the enormous quantities of stock he has in ExxonMobil. And he's required to companies, which I find rather odd because Exxon partners with every other oil company. And as I said, Tillerson was previously invested in pretty much every other U.S. and I believe also other Total from France and other companies. So his ties, I think, are going to be very, very, very difficult and I actually think impossible to break from you know the 200 countries with which Exxon does business, the virtually every oil company on the planet, whether it's in Saudi Arabia or China or Russia or Iran or Syria or the Sudan with whom he has done business. And so is he going to need to recuse himself from decisions on Iran and Sudan and Syria and Russia and Saudi Arabia because he has had dealings with these countries? I would say yes, which is one of the many reasons why he's not qualified to take this job and should not be in a position to take this job after heading ExxonMobil for being the CEO since 2006 and the president and vice president since 2001.
Well, and I just wonder yourself as someone who has reported on the energy sector for many years, are we seeing a move in the U.S. government now with this incoming administration towards not just a kind of authoritarian type of approach to governance, but what Mussolini defined fascism as, which as corporatism, the merger of corporate and government power with the number of corporate heads that are coming in to this incoming administration?
Well, it's not only that, it's an unprecedented number of generals combined and having to change U.S. law so that we can have all the generals that Trump wants in his government in combination with this unprecedented number of corporate executives, as you say. I mean, you know, another person we haven't even mentioned is Wilbur Ross, who's, you know, a Gordon Gekko, you know, when Gordon Gekko was nice. Wilbur Ross made his money squeezing coal and now oil companies down to their bare bones, resulting in the deaths of workers and the polluting of the environment, and he's made billions off of that practice. And he's just one. I could spend hours talking about these guys who have made who are making up Trump's cabinet. And yes, I think it is very clearly the sort of basic definition of fascism, which is the combination of the corporatism and the militarism. I don't think that Trump is Mussolini, and that I don't think that he's going to use these corporations to pursue a government agenda. I think he's using the government to enrich corporations. So it's a sort of different model. and more, I don't know, just sort of greedy and less imperial. I don't think that Trump himself has imperial ambitions. I think he has, sort of basic greed ambitions. And I think a lot of the members of his administration share that tendency of what they want to do is go to government and change the rules so that they make more money when they leave government. I don't think that's Tillerson. I honestly think, as I write in my piece, that Tillerson, I really think he has a lot of objectives for Exxon that he's, would like to pursue as Secretary of State, including eliminating the sanctions against Russia. But I also think he's really the Bush administration's man in charge within the Trump administration. So I think the Bush team, including President George Bush himself, as well as Cheney and Condoleezza Rice and Gates and Hadley and Baker, have all come out to either tell Senator Corker, who's the head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, or Trump himself, that they want Tillerson to be Secretary of State. And I think that's because they don't trust Trump, and they want Tillerson in there to be the grown-up at the table.
Well, in either case, it is clear that both Trump and his cabinet picks will be pursuing their own business interests. So do you see it more of the kind of authoritarian regime of someone like Ferdinand Marcos in the Philippines, of just trying to run the government as a side enterprise to promote one's own business and financial interests?
It's too early to say, and I also think that there are, really divergent, it's a really mixed up group that's coming together in this cabinet. So you do have, a foreign policy team that very clearly is very aggressive towards Iran, and that's a clear foreign policy objective of theirs. If Bolton is named as Undersecretary of State, he just said last month in November that he wants regime change in Iran. And the Bush administration was very clear that after Iraq, Iran was next on their list. And there are several members of Trump's foreign policy team that have that objective. Many are favorable towards Russia. There is a foreign policy agenda, but it doesn't exactly mesh with the domestic agenda, which we don't even really know what Trump's agenda is at the end of the day beyond these corporate interests. So, this is not like any other administration that I personally know of. If you look again at the Bush administration, many of these men in particular had worked together for 30 years before they came into the administration. They had very clear articulated ideas and, they had worked together in different policy groups and written papers in different administrations, and they said, this is what we're going to do, and it's what they did. There's nothing like that with this administration. So, we're trying to pick up cues. They're very, they don't believe in science. They don't like Muslims. They like Russia. They don't like Iran. They like oil and gas and coal. They don't like solar. These are some of the things we know. Many are exceptionally racist and homophobic and isolationist, and so these are some words I can throw out, but if you can find a comprehensive ideology in there, then I'd love to hear it.
Well, and we're
anti-immigrant, let's add that.
And we're gonna have to leave it there, and I want to thank you for joining us and your assessment of Rex Tillerson and the other cabinet nominees that are facing confirmation hearings this week. Again, I've been speaking with Antonia Juhas, who is an energy analyst and a longtime journalist in this field, and has written this week for InTheseTimes.com an article entitled Rex Tillerson Could Be America's Most Dangerous Secretary of State. Thank you, Antonia Juhas, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
This is Jenka Soderberg with KBOO News.
And you're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Rose City Native Radio is next.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of Maggots and Men, Sunday, January 15th at 4:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. Maggots and Men is an experimental film set in post-revolutionary Russia, and it tells the story of the 1921 uprising of the Kronstadt sailors with a subtext of gender anarchy. This film is a benefit for Out There Adventures, whose mission is to cultivate leadership and build community for queer youth through adventure. Again, that's Maggots and Men, Sunday, January 15th, 4:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
On Monday, February 13th at 6:30 p.m., Prison Pipeline will be hosting a Valentine's Day special. We will be reading your Valentine's shoutouts to your friends and loved ones. So whether you are locked up or your loved one is, we welcome you to mail or email us your Valentine's messages. Our address is 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Attention,